say. Both these teams have faced each other. I think it's about 10 times now this season. This will be the 10th time this season, what I heard. So these teams are very familiar with each other. They're very familiar with their style of play. This isn't the first time they've faced off. They're kind of knowing what to expect, knowing the defense that they've been doing. Sam Point been mainly sticking in a man defense while King Cove has been playing a bit of a zone. So we'll have to keep an eye on that defense, see what both these teams are going to do in the second half here, if any of them are going to switch it up. On the Sam Point side, as far as scoring goes, our scoring leader for the night is going to be number 23, Rowdy Tripp, with 16 points this far. And Rowdy Tripp had quite the night last night with 31 points. Well on pace to do that again tonight. So definitely the player to watch, number 23, Rowdy Tripp.
Live from
our
NPR
second
News
highest scorer
Washington,
is going to be
I'm
number
Stevens.
Four.
British Prime Minister Keir Starmer is the second
with 12 points. So Viscocho putting up some pretty clutch threes there for Sandpoint, keeping them in this game. He was the one who was able to get them back the lead there in the second quarter. Our next, as far as scoring goes, our next highest scorer is number 42, Peter Kalugin, who typically plays down low, but had a nice three-pointer in the second quarter, and he's got 11 points. So, excuse me, 9 points. So Peter Kalugin with 9 points. Number one, Jeremy McGlashan with 3 points. And number zero, Tyler Gunderson with 3 points as well. So, yeah, pretty great game from the Eagles here. Going to be interesting to see who's kind of the main scorer for the Eagles here in the second half. So far, we've just seen Rowdy Tripp doing it all. Three-pointers, taking the ball to the rack. Free throws. I mean, this guy has really been carrying the team here for Sandpoint. As far as fouls, Tyler Gunderson, number zero, with one foul. Viscocho, number four, with one foul. Rowdy Tripp, number 23, with one foul. And Kalugin, number 42, with one foul as well. So none of these players in foul trouble. Same on the King Cove side. Be interesting to see with this close game how teams are going to strategize the fouling here. So 5 minutes left here of halftime. Both teams just kind of hanging out on their own benches right now, waiting for this to start. A few King Cove and Sandpoint players are on the court getting a few shots in, trying to warm up. But for the most part, these guys are just trying to relax, keep their heads in this game. It's a pretty important game here for both teams to win. So if you just tuned in and you haven't been paying attention to the tournament, winner of this game will go on to play in the semifinal game tomorrow. So winner will play in the semifinal game against the winner of tonight's matchup, Manicotic versus Tenalian. So number one seeded Manicotic going against Tenalian, number four seeded Tenalian, and that will be taking place at 8 o'clock tonight. So we will not be broadcasting that game on this network, but if you want to watch that game, go to the nfhsnetwork.com website and search up Tenalian, where you can watch that game, number one Manicotic versus number four Tenalian. So winner of that game will go on to play winner of this game in tomorrow's semifinal game. Loser of that game will go on to play New Haven tomorrow. And that game is going to take place at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So New Haven versus loser of this game. So for anybody that's unfamiliar with the regionals basketball, the Region 1 basketball tournament setup here, this is a double elimination tournament. So what happens is, all of the teams are put into the winner's bracket initially. But if you lose, you go to a secondary loser's bracket where you still have a chance to make it to the state tournament, but you have to win your way through the loser's bracket. So it takes two losses in this tournament in order to be out. So tomorrow, game 10 of this tournament will be the winner of this game versus Manicotic versus Tenalian. And that's going to take place at 8 o'clock p.m. tomorrow. So loser of this game will go to the loser's bracket and play New Halen for game 7 of the tournament at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So make sure you tune in for that one. That will be covered on this network. And then game 10, semifinal game versus winner of Tenalian versus Manicotic, will be tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. So make sure you tune into that game as well. So, top two teams coming out of this tournament will be advancing to the 1A state championship tournament taking place in Anchorage. And I'm pretty sure that's not going to be next week, but the week after that. So, second week of March. If you guys are in Anchorage, some awesome basketball taking place. Make sure you guys head to that and see teams from all around the state compete for the Alaska 1A state championship. Pretty big deal for many of these young high school players. Winning a state championship is a massive achievement. 1 minute and 30 seconds left at halftime. Coach Ricky De La Cruz talking it over with his team, letting the guys relax, trying to keep their head in the game. Most of the starters just sitting on the bench, trying to get some rest before another competitive second half here. Standpoint coach Brandon Smith reining his team in, going over a few final game plan points here with the team. Most of the starters sitting on the bench, relaxing as well, trying to get a little bit of rest here before the second half. Both teams are on their feet, going over a few final game plan points here, and Eagles are going to get back on the court here. So, second half starters, we have number 4, Viscocho for Sandpoint, number 23, Rowdy Tripp, number 42, Peter Kalugin, number 1, Jeremy McGlashan, and number 0, Tyler Gunnarsson for the Eagles. For the King Cove T-Jacks, we have big man Robert Thompson, Brennan Larson, number 15, and number 4, Michael Gould, and number 3, Riley Wilson. So King Cove going to start out with the ball here. Inbound pass there from Larson to Gould. Gould, looks like they were trying to set a screen there for Gould, but he's going to pass away. Ball being passed around the perimeter. King Cove switching up the offense a little bit here. And Gould with the ball at the top of the key. Sandpoint trying to lay on the defense here. Gould going to take it to the rack. No good. Rebound by Tripp. Tripp got that rebound. But he's going to lose the ball. Passed it into Robert Thompson. Looks like a foul there from number 23 for Sandpoint. So not totally sure what happened there, but it's going to be a King Cove ball under the hoop. So 22-28 score coming into the second half. No points scored yet. Sandpoint with the lead. Big man Thompson down low. Shot attempt no good. Rebound by Rowdy Tripp. Sandpoint bringing the ball the other way. Scores 22-28. Sandpoint leading by 6 points. No points scored thus far in the third quarter. Short corner shot from Peter Kalugin is good. A nice little jump shot from 42 to give Sandpoint an 8-point lead. Scores 22-30. 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Michael Gould with a deep three-point attempt. No good. Rebounded by Rowdy Tripp of Sandpoint. He's going to bring it the other way. He's got a man open under the basket. That's number 0, Tyler Gunnarsson, with the layup there to give Sandpoint a 10-point lead over King Cove. Sandpoint really trying to lock it in on defense here. King Cove switching it up offensively. Shot attempt there by number 1 for King Cove. No good. And a hard-nosed rebound attempt. Rowdy Tripp going to get called. Getting competitive there on that rebound, but looks like he was going to foul number 15, Brennan Larson, while trying to get that rebound. So it's going to be a King Cove ball under the hoop. 10-point leading this game by 10, 22-32. King Cove just inbounding the ball. Michael Gould, little jump shot. It is good. Left side jump shot from Michael Gould for 2. Sandpoint bringing the ball the other way. Scores 24-32. 8-point lead by Sandpoint. Rowdy Tripp has the ball on the right side of the court, passing it around the perimeter, looking in the middle for Kalugin. Kalugin's got it. Little middle of the key jump shot there from number 42 of Sam Point to keep their lead at 10 points. Gould looking inside, stolen by number 0 Gunderson. He's bringing it the other way for Sam Point. Passes it to Rowdy Tripp. Tripp bringing it inside. Jump shot by Tripp. No good. Rebounded by King Cove. King Cove's going to take it the other way. And number 2-3, Rowdy Tripp with the foul there on the ground. So that's 23 Rowdy Tripp's third foul here. Definitely want to keep an eye on that. So Sam Point with the 10-point lead here. King Cove ball. 5.5 minutes left in the third quarter. And that's Gould with the three-pointer there. Banked it in. Three-pointer there from Gould. Score is 27-34. Sam Point with the ball on their side of the court. Rowdy Tripp passes the ball to the right. Little give and go there from Rowdy Tripp. Looking for the shot. No good. And it's rebounded by King Cove. Michael Gould bringing it the other way. Gould got it on the right side of the court. He's going to pass to Wilson. Wilson's got it on the right, dribbling in, looking for a shot. He's got Larson outside. Larson drives in, passes out to Wilson. Wilson with the three. It's good. Number 3, Riley Wilson for King Cove. Getting this Sam Point lead a little bit smaller here with that three-pointer. So score is 30-34. We got a four-point game here. And Peter Kalugin for Sam Point with the top-of-the-key jump shot. No good. King Cove's going to get the rebound. Number 4, Michael Gould, taking it inside. A top-of-the-key jump shot from Michael Gould is good. So 32-34, two-point game here. Sam Point still winning, but this is a pretty close game here. And there's an offensive foul on Rowdy Tripp. Looks like a King Cove player was trying to set a screen there. Rowdy Tripp ran into him, and he's in some serious foul trouble now. Third quarter, Rowdy Tripp with 4 fouls. Looks like he's going to have a substitution coming in for him. So number 20 for Sam Point, Dawson Golovin coming in for Tripp. Tripp's been their high scorer this far in the game. This could really impact them. Michael Gould for King Cove looking for the layup, but he's going to run into a Sam Point player. And that's going to be a charge call. So, King Cove with the turnover there. Sam Point inbounding the ball. Number 4, Viscocho bringing the ball off the court. 32-34. Sam Point with a 2-point lead. Viscocho passing to the left. Passing to the right. Ball is on the left side of the court. Going to the right. Kalugin got it. Little jump shot from Kalugin there. No good. Going to be tipped out of bounds by King Cove. So, Sam Point ball under the hoop. Number 1, McLaughlin inbounding for Sam Point. It's going to be passed to the top of the key. Passing around the perimeter. Tipped out of bounds by number 1, Logan Ayapana for King Cove. King Cove wants this right now. They are locking in defensively, trying to get the lead back here. Sam Point moving the ball, trying to get a few points here. Number 0, Gunderson with the ball at the top of the key. He's going to pass it around. Number 20 for Sam Point with the three-point attempt. No good. Rebounded by Sam Point. And number 1, McLaughlin for Sam Point got that rebound, took it inside, and drew the foul. So McLaughlin, number 1, is going to go to the line and shoot 2 for Sam Point here. Score is 32-34. Sam Point with a 2-point lead here. McLaughlin hoping to extend that lead with 2 free throw attempts here. So first free throw attempt is no good. McLaughlin tonight with, looks like, 3 points so far. Going for his second free throw attempt, and it is good. So 3-point lead here by Sam Point. Score is 32-35. Sam Point with a 3-point lead. King Cove with the ball, bring it the other way. Michael Gould looking for a pass. He's got Larson inside. Larson bottom of the key, passing to big man Thompson. Thompson's got it inside, passing it back out. Sam Point. see what the call is. There's a call here on the court. So, style there on Sandpoint. So, it's going to be a King Cove ball. And three-point attempt from Gould. No good. Sandpoint with the rebound. Score is still 32-35. Sandpoint leading this game by three. Sandpoint passing to the right. Passing down to the short corner. Passing it back outside. Sandpoint. Little top of the key jump shot there from number 20 of Sandpoint. No good. Rebounded by King Cove. King Cove bringing it the other way. Number four, Michael Gould, has the ball driving inside. Dishes it to the big man, Thompson, and he's got two. Big man, Robert Thompson, with 2 points for King Cove. 1 point game, 34-35. Sandpoint leading this game by one. King Cove with a deflection there. Out of bounds off of the King Cove player. Still going to remain Sandpoint ball. So Sandpoint inbounding the ball on their side of the court. Sandpoint looking for a pass. They're going to pass it in to number 20, Golovin. He's going to pass it to the left. It's going to go to the left, down to the short corner, back outside, but nope, tipped out of bounds there by Michael Gould. So Sandpoint ball still. Sandpoint under the basket, inbounding, and it's in. Lugan has the ball, went for the pump fake. Couldn't get it. He's going to pass it to number 20. Viscocho driving the ball. He's got Belugin who shoots the three, but no good. It's going to bounce out of bounds. So King Cove ball, and looks like we have a player hurt. Standpoint number four, it looks like Viscocho having some leg discomfort there. So he's going to head over to the bench. And a substitution for him is coming in, number three, Kamingana. Number three for Sandpoint coming in for Viscocho. So, yeah, I hope Viscocho feels better here. It's going to be a King Cove ball. Score is 34-35. Sandpoint with a one-point lead. King Cove. Big man Thompson's got it down. One. Big man Thompson. On fire right now. He's got that and one bucket going to the line to hopefully extend King Cove's lead. King Cove taking the lead there with that shot from Thompson. So score is 36-35. Thompson hoping to get a 2 point lead here. No good. Rebounded by Sandpoint. So score is 36-35. King Cove now leading by one though. Sandpoint with the ball. Passing it around, trying to get a shot. Kalugin, fadeaway jump shot. It's good. 42, Peter Kalugin with that fadeaway jump shot to give Sandpoint the lead. 36-37, Sandpoint leading by one. King Cove has the ball. Michael Gould dumped to the big man, Thompson. Thompson with a wide open layup to give King Cove back that lead. 38-37, King Cove leading this game. Sandpoint with the ball. Drive inside from Gunderson. No good. Sandpoint with the rebound. King Cove going the other way. King Cove shot attempt there by Michael Gould. No good. It's going to be rebounded by Sandpoint. Sandpoint bringing it back. 1 minute left in this third quarter. Very close 1 point game here. Sandpoint with the ball on the right side of the court. Passing it around. Looking for something. Some hard nosed defense by King Cove. Looks like they trapped the Sandpoint player there in the corner and were able to force a turnover. So King Cove with the ball, bringing it the other way. 40 seconds left in the third quarter, trying to get this last bucket here. Number four, Michael Gould at the top of the perimeter. He's got Larson down low. Larson looking, dumps to number one. With an easy bucket from the middle of the key there. Score is 40-37. King Cove with a three-point lead. 19 seconds remain. Sandpoint trying to get the last shot here to end the third quarter. Sandpoint passing it around the perimeter. Going to the left. Sandpoint, 7 seconds left on the clock. Number one for Sandpoint. That was Jeremy McGlashan with the last second shot there. Able to get the last two of this quarter. McGlashan, 40-39, a 1 point game. 1 quarter remaining in this incredibly exciting game. The winner of this game will advance to the semifinal game, a very important for all these boys' seasons. Right now, Michael Gould, number four, the high scorer for King Cove with 12 points. A close second, number three, Riley Wilson with 9. And another close second, Robert Thompson, the big man, with 10 points. As far as Sand Point, a little bit of some rough stuff going on their side. Their high score for the night, Rowdy Trippin, foul trouble. One more foul and he is done. So he sat most of that third quarter. Definitely a little bit of a different looking team without him on the court. And then, of course, their starting point guard, number four, Vizcocho, with the injury there. So we'll see if he is able to return this game. Definitely a little bit of a different feel with some new faces on the court here in the fourth quarter. 40-39, King Cove leading by one, a very close game. Rowdy Tripp is back in the game. Sandpoint with the ball, passing it around the perimeter. Sandpoint looking for a shot. And they're passing it around to the corner there. Kalugin with the three-point attempt. He's going to get his own rebound. Tripped up. And they're going to call that foul on the big man Thompson of King Cove. So Kalugin able to draw that foul. It's going to be a Sandpoint ball under the basket. Rowdy Tripp inbounding this ball. Tripp looking for a man. He's got wide open in the corner. Number three, three-pointer, no good. King Cove's going to get the rebound. So King Cove bringing it the other way. 40-39, King Cove leading this game by one. No points have been scored here in the fourth quarter yet. King Cove trying to keep that offensive momentum going here. Number three, Wilson passes to 15, Larson. Larson dumps it to number one, Iapana. He has got it. Number one, Logan Iapana with 2 points there, an easy layup to give King Cove a three-point lead. Sandpoint with the ball, passing it to the left, passing it to the right. Sandpoint, Gunderson driving inside, trying to get Kalugin down low. He's got it, fumbled for the ball. But Sandpoint's going to call a timeout. Looks like Sandpoint players were struggling to hang on to the ball there. So Coach Brandon Smith's going to call a timeout, try to give him a little chance here to reset. So a pretty exciting matchup. We've definitely had some big developments in this game. Number four, Vizcocho, starting point guard for the Eagles, who has also had a pretty good night so far. Not doing too good, sitting on the bench right now with an injury. But I'm looking over there right now. He's pulling out an ankle brace, putting it on. We'll see if he's able to get back in this game tonight. Number 23 for Sandpoint, also in foul trouble. Four fouls for Rowdy Tripp. One more, and he is done. So be keeping an eye on that. Three-point attempt. A three-point made from the corner by number zero, Tyler Gunderson of Sandpoint, tying up this game, 42-42. Tie game, 6 minutes left here in the fourth quarter. King Cove has got it. Iapana with another shot there, a little mid-range jumper from Iapana to give King Cove a two-point lead, 44-42. Sandpoint with the ball. Rowdy Tripp driving inside. Ball is stolen by Michael Gould. Michael Gould on the fast break, and he misses the layup. Michael Gould misses the layup. Going to be deflected out of bounds by number 15, Brennan Larson, so it's going to be a Sandpoint ball going the other way. Score is 44-42. Sandpoint ball. King Cove leading. 6 minutes left in this fourth quarter. Rowdy Tripp has got the ball at the top of the perimeter, looking for Kalugin in the short corner, and he has got it. Peter Kalugin, number 42 for Sandpoint, tying this ball game up, 44-44. King Cove with the ball. Larson driving inside, dumps it to Iupana. No good. Sandpoint with the rebound. Fast break attempt here by Sandpoint. And they got it. Number one, Jeremy McLaughlin with the fast break point for Sandpoint to give them a two-point lead. Sandpoint's first time leading in this fourth quarter. Sandpoint, 46-44, leading this game. King Cove with the ball. Shot attempt there by King Cove, but it's no good. Going to be deflected out of bounds, and it's going to be a Sandpoint ball going the other way. So 44-46, Sandpoint leading this game by two. Sandpoint with the ball. From Peter Kalugin. Kalugin with the three-pointer in the corner. giving the Eagles a 4-point lead, 44-46. And that's going to be a blocking foul on Tyler Gunderson of Sandpoint. Was trying to draw the charge there on Michael Gould, but was moving his feet a little bit too much. So, King Cove ball out of bounds. And number 4, Biscocho for Sandpoint, just checked in. So he is back in this game. Another key player for Sandpoint. Let's see if he has some impact on this game here and is able to keep going after that ankle injury. Number 4, Gould shooting the 3. It's no good. Rebounded by 42 of Sandpoint. Kalugin, he's going to pass that out to Biscocho. Biscocho passing it to Rowdy Tripp. Tripp driving inside, looking for the layup. He's got it. Rowdy Tripp giving the Eagles a 6-point lead, 44-50. We've got less than 5 minutes here in this fourth quarter. Michael Gould, top of the key shot. He gets his own rebound. Misses that. Goes for another rebound and goes up. Able to draw the foul. So Michael Gould, high score for the T-Jacks here, going to go to the line. So two shots from Michael Gould here. And these are some important free throws for the T-Jacks. Down 6 here in this fourth quarter. Winner advances into the tournament, going to the semifinals of the regionals tournament. Loser heading to the loser bracket and having to work their way up for that second place spot. Gould at the line going for his first free throw. And no good from Gould. So score is still 44-50. Gould with another free throw attempt here. This is an important shot. Gould has got that second free throw. It's good. So score is 45-50. It's a 5-point game here in Port Allsworth. Sandpoint with the ball, bringing it the other way. So Biscocho bringing the ball up the court. He's going to pass to the right. Pass back to the left. Ball is going around the perimeter. Sandpoint guards are looking for a shot here. Number 0, Gunderson bringing it inside. He's going to kick it back out. And a little floater there from number 3, Kamingana of Sandpoint, to extend the Eagles' lead. Number 15, Larson for King Cove, 3-point attempt. No good. Rebounded by Kalugin. Gunderson on the fast break. Last to number 1, McGlashan. He's got those fast break points. Score is 45-54. Sandpoint winning this game. And number 15, Larson with a 3-point attempt. No good. Sandpoint gets that rebound, 45-54. Sandpoint with the ball, passing it around, trying to extend their lead here on this drive. And there's a timeout from Sandpoint coach Brandon Smith. So Sandpoint's going to talk it over. They've got a little bit of a margin of victory here, but not much. 45-54, a 9-point lead by Sandpoint. 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So far, some pretty big numbers here on the Sandpoint side. Peter Kalugin with 15 points. Rowdy Tripp, he sat most of the third quarter due to some foul trouble with 11 points. He did? Oh, it looks like Rowdy Tripp fouled out, actually. Looks like we missed that one. So Rowdy Tripp is not in this game. He is sitting on the bench currently. So Sandpoint's going to have to do this one without him. Interesting development here. In a very important regional game. King Cove steals that inbound pass from Sandpoint, and they're going the other way. And one bucket by number 15, Brennan Larson. He's going to go to the line and try to get another point here. So 47-54, King Cove trying to come back and make it happen here in the fourth quarter. Larson, a key player for the T-Jacks tonight, on the line. Free throw is no good. Rebounded by number 0, Gunderson of Sandpoint. Gunderson taking up the court. And 15, Larson is going to foul Gunderson as he's dribbling. That foul's on the ground. So it's going to be a Sandpoint ball out of bounds. We are not quite in bonus yet. Each team with 3 team fouls. Gunderson passes it into Kalugin. Kalugin bringing the ball up the left side of the court. He's going to pass it off to Biscocho. Biscocho looking for a pass. He's going to pass it to the right. Skocho got the ball back. Got Kalugin at the top of the three-pointer. Kalugin driving inside, back to Viscocho. Viscocho driving inside, trying to dump it to Gunderson down low, but it's going to be deflected. And they're going to call an offensive foul on number 42, Peter Kalugin. So ball's going to go the other way. It looks like he pushed off a little bit there on that play. So Kinko with the ball, score is 47-54. 7-point game, Kinko with the ball. And Gould dumping it to the big man Thompson. He's going to go for the shot. No good. Rebounded by Larson, but he couldn't get it. Rebounded by Sam Point. So rebounded by Viscocho, but Larson had a hand on it, so it's going to be a jump ball. King Cove's possession, so King Cove has the ball under their own hoop. Larson rebounding the ball, out of bounds. Larson passing to the big man Thompson. Thompson dribbling, looking for someone. Larson driving inside, dumps it to number one. And he's going to get fouled on the ground there. So another Sandpoint team foul there. Number 15, Larson going to inbound the ball again under the hoop. Larson calling for some motion here. Passes it into Wilson. Wilson looking for a pass back to Larson. Sandpoint hawking the ball. They do not want King Cove to get these points. Number one, Iapana puts up a shot, bounces off the rim, no good. Larson with the rebound. A little bit of a tussle there for the ball. And Larson pushes over a Sandpoint player. Larson in foul trouble now with 4 points. It's going to be a Sandpoint ball coming the other way. Sandpoint dribbling it down the court. Ball in the corner. Kalugin looking for the three. No good. Rebounded by Iupana. But that's going to be an over-the-back foul called there on number one of Sandpoint, Jeremy McGlashan. So number one, Logan Iupana of King Cove is going to head to the line and shoot two free throws. So for anybody that doesn't know, the rules have changed in Region 1, 1A basketball. Typically before, players would shoot a one-and-one free throw, but no longer. Every quarter at 5 team fouls, each team shoots 2 free throws whenever there's a team foul. So right now, we're in the bonus. Iapana at the line missed that first free throw. Score is 47-54, hoping to get some more points here for the T-Jacks. Iapana looking for a second free throw. No good. Rebounded by Sandpoint. Sandpoint taking it the other way. King Cove adding the pressure. Trying to get back in this game. Number four, Viscocho with a nice jelly layup there to extend Sandpoint's lead. Score is 47-56. Gould looking for a deep three-pointer. No good. Rebounded by Sandpoint. Sandpoint dribbling the ball. Viscocho weaving through the defense, trying to get it onto the Sandpoint side. Sandpoint trying to slow it down here. 1 minute and 30 seconds remains in this clutch basketball game. Stolen by King Cove. King Cove bringing it the other way. Looking for number one, Iapana. 15, Larson. Driving inside, but the ball's going to go off of his hands. And looks like it was deflected out of bounds by Sandpoint there. So King Cove ball out of bounds. Inbound to Iupana, number one. Misses that layup. Larson gets the rebound. Another shot attempt. We're just going back and forth, tipping the ball. Finally, big man Thompson able to tip that ball back in. So the score is 49-56. 1 minute and 15 seconds remaining in this game. 7 points needed by King Cove to get back the lead. Sandpoint with the ball to Lugan in the corner. No good. Rebounded by Michael Gould. He's tripped up. Michael Gould trying to take it the other way. And that's going to be a Sandpoint foul. King Cove now in the bonus, it looks like. So King Cove, number four, Michael Gould is going to head to the line and shoot 2 free throws. Michael Gould, one of King Cove's key players this tournament, at the line. And his first free throw is good. So score is 50-56. We have a 6-point game here. King Cove still able to pull this off. a clutch free throw here by Gould. He's got the second one. 5-point game. Scores 51-56. Standpoint up by 5 points. Standpoint. Brennan Larson fouling for the team, but it looks like he's going to foul out there. So Brennan Larson with his fifth foul, and he's done. So he's going to the bench. Number 13 for Sandpoint. Sorry, King Cove. Sailor Gould is going to come in. So with that foul, Sandpoint will now be in the bonus, and number 4, Viscocho, is at the line for Sandpoint. First free throw is good. Score is 53-59. Sandpoint with the lead here. 6-point lead by Sandpoint. 18 seconds remain in the fourth quarter. Viscocho looking for a second free throw here. No good. Rebounded by the King Cove big man Thompson. King Cove pass to Gould. They've got a wide open Iupana. Number 1. No good. He couldn't get the layup. Sandpoint with the rebound. Number 4, Michael Gould, is going to foul number 0, Tyler Gunderson of Sandpoint. He's going to head to the line and shoot these bonus free throws here. So number 0, Tyler Gunderson of Sandpoint, shooting 2 free throws for the Eagles. Score is 53-59, a 6-point game, 8 seconds left. So first free throw is a miss from Gunderson. Gunderson got another free throw. King Cove needs this rebound if they want to stay in this game. Gunderson, second free throw is good. So 7-point lead by the Eagles here. Score is 53-60. 6 seconds left on the clock. And Gould able to draw contact on a 3-point attempt. He's going to head to the line. So these are some important free throws from number 4, Michael Gould. 3.7 seconds left on the clock. King Cove still in this game, but they're going to need a few of these free throws from Gould here. Gould, first free throw, no good. So score is still 53-60. Gould with 2 more shots left. Gould going for that second free throw attempt, and it's good. So score is now 54-60, 6-point game here. Gould with 1 more free throw remaining. Gould been a key player for the T-Jacks tonight. Gould's third free throw is no good. Rebounded by Sandpoint. They're going to chuck it up in the air. Try to get some time off the clock. And that's the end of the game, folks. 54-60. Sandpoint Eagles beat the King Cove T-Jacks and will advance in the regionals tournament. So, Sandpoint going on to the semifinal game of the tournament tomorrow. They will play the winner of Manicotic versus Tenalian tonight. Oh, championship. Excuse me. Championship game tomorrow. So championship game will be Sandpoint versus the winner of Tenalian versus Manicotic. The winner of that game will advance to the state tournament in Anchorage. So this a very important victory for the Eagles tonight. King Cove, however, is going to fall to the loser's bracket. They still have a chance to advance to the state tournament. However, they're going to have to win up through the loser's bracket and win that second place game. So they will be playing, looks like, New Haven tomorrow. So make sure you tune in for that game. That's going to be game 7 of the tournament, happening at 9 a.m. tomorrow. King Cove versus New Haven. And then tomorrow, game 10, the championship game at 8 o'clock tomorrow, Sandpoint versus the winner of Manicotic versus Canalian. We are not going to be streaming the Manicotic-Canalian game, but if you want to watch this game, head to the NFHSnetwork.com website, search Canalian, and you'll be able to find that game. Going to be some pretty good basketball, a really high-rated Manicotic team facing off against this Canalian Lynx, who had a very decisive victory against New Haven last night.
Yeah, there you have it. It was a great game, wasn't it, folks? I'll just put the radio on and where it left off, and I'll see you all tomorrow morning. I'll be here at 8 or a little bit before that in the game. We got that game at 9 a.m., so stay tuned.
Probably been a while since you wiped insect splatter off your windshield. That unpleasant chore was once part of the ritual of any long drive. And if so, you may have noticed that you need to clean your windshield less often these days. Insect populations are dwindling around the world. It seems preposterous because insects would seem to be everywhere, from ants marching across your kitchen floor to gnats swarming your blanket at the beach. And yet,
I am Oliver Millman, I'm the environment correspondent of The Guardian US, and I'm the author of The Insect Crisis, The Fall of the Tiny Empires That Run the World.
He pulls together the numerous stories that you may have been hearing about declining insect numbers and species, and reminds us what we lose if these buzzing, winged, often beautiful, many-legged creatures disappear, and about the tasks they perform to keep ecosystems intact.
Oliver, I wonder if you could introduce us to one of your favorite insects that you came to know while reporting on this book, maybe one that you don't get to describe very often.
So one of the most impressive insects that I came across in the course of writing this book is the Hercules moth, which is the world's largest moth. It's got a wingspan as wide as a dinner plate, but it doesn't have a mouth. It lives on the reserves it's built up while it was eating as a caterpillar. It also has kind of two false eyes in its rear end to confuse predators. So it's an incredibly impressive and beautiful insect. It's really one of the most incredible insects you would likely ever see. And it's kind of one of the real kind of jewels of the insect world that I really think is worth kind of keeping around and keeping in mind when we think about insects, when we think about them as being annoying or pesky creatures. There is this kind of beauty in the insect world, and I think maybe the Hercules moth sums it up best.
Well, that brings me to this question, which is, you know, if attention is given to animals, it's often given to the megafauna, either to describe how remarkable they are or what the threats are that they're facing. Oliver, how does our perspective of the world change if we shift our attention to the invertebrates?
Yeah, there is this kind of species kind of bias that many of us have about what's important in our world. And a lot of that is drawn through aesthetics and also culturally as well. I mean, culturally, we've been made to think of insects as something that are disease ridden, annoying, or even irrelevant. I mean, there are kind of million species of named insects in the world. That's only a fraction of what's out there. There may be 5 million, 10 million, maybe 30 million. And of those, we maybe only really think fondly of bees, butterflies, maybe fireflies. The rest of them we don't really think about at all. And if we do think about them, we think about them in a negative way. But once you actually dig into the roles insects play in our lives, kind of get a better understanding, appreciation of them, you kind of begin to understand these are the creatures that really do underpin life as we know it on this planet. We would not have the order societies we have now without insects. And as terrible as it would be to lose rhinos, what an awful crime it would be to lose tigers and orangutans, the loss of these creatures wouldn't cause mass malnutrition or starvation like the loss of insects would.
Well, you begin your book with a pretty grim description of a dystopia where the insects have disappeared and society basically collapses. The foods that humans are eating are those that are pollinated by the wind, such as rice. I wonder if you would be willing to turn that scenario on its head and describe a world in which the insect populations are thriving. And what does that look like?
Yeah, well, I've been lucky enough to get kind of a glimpse of what a world kind of teeming with insects would be like. And obviously that was the world that we kind of found ourselves in up to the age of mass industrialization, growth of the human population, the conversion of land to agriculture. I've been to kind of wildflower meadows, green roofs, which are kind of those kind of meadows artificially put onto urban landscapes. And these are places which aren't kind of covered in chemicals, or the grass isn't cut. It's kind of really left to kind of its own devices. And you see this kind of enormous plethora of insect life. It's kind of, you walk through and there are bugs hitting your legs, they're up in your face. And not just that, it's the feeling that it's alive. There's this kind of thrumming kind of vibrancy to it. You see them around, you hear them around. It feels like the air around you is crackling with life. And that's kind of what a world with insects at full abundance is like. It's a very vibrant, alive place. It's not the kind of deadened kind of environment that we seem to have imposed upon ourselves as well as them.
So in this world that you had the privilege of visiting, that it no longer exists widely, insects are buzzing all around. And describe some of the jobs that they will be doing. What does that look like?
Yeah, so their roles are numerous and invaluable. So they pollinate about a third of the world's food crops. So everything from kind of apples, cranberries, melons, broccoli, blueberries, cherries. You wouldn't have those without insect populations.
And famously chocolate.
Yes. As little as we would like to praise tiny midges, a tiny midge is responsible for pollinating the plant that chocolate comes from. So you would not have chocolate without this tiny midge. So perhaps think of that next time you're eating a chocolate bar. They do a lot of the unglamorous work of breaking down feces, breaking down corpses. Beetles and blowflies and other insects do that kind of dirty work until the bacteria get to work beyond them. So a lot of that is done kind of out of sight and out of mind for us. Of course, once they do that, that actually helps the whole cycle of life. The nutrients then are kind of passed through into soils, into plants, replenishing them. So they keep kind of forests and other kind of landscapes vibrant and alive, through to the cycling of nutrients through the whole ecosystem. And they provide food themselves for other creatures. So about half of the world's bird species rely upon insects for food. If you're raising a young chick, you will know it requires thousands and thousands of insects to eat before it can become a fully fledged bird.
In your book, you describe a method that researchers are using to track beetle populations, and they're looking at the chemical traces of the beetles in the feathers of the birds that eat them. Do I have that right? Could you explain what the scientists are doing and what they're learning about those beetle populations?
Yeah, so there's incredible research that can be done where you can take samples from birds and see what they've been eating, see how their diets are changing, and also what they're ingesting in terms of chemicals. So neonicotinoids, which are the kind of main kind of deadly insecticides spread on fields in the US and many other countries, they are catastrophic for insect populations. They're also pretty bad for birds. So the birds are picking up seeds that have been coated in this chemical and eating them, and it's been shown to affect their health quite badly. The chemicals can get into their feathers. The scientists can find all kinds of things about birds from their feathers and other tests done upon them. And they can see what's happening with their diets. They can see how the actual intake of insects is changing, and in many places it's a worrying set of results.
Will you describe what the threats are to insects? Because it's not just one threat. There are a multitude.
Yeah, so there are lots of threats assailing insects right now. I mean, there's three main ones. The first one would be habitat loss. So we've obviously deforested a large part of the world. We've converted kind of untouched grasslands into monocultural farming fields, cities, roads, and so on. And that has been disastrous for insects. The second thing we've done is we've doused a lot of that land with chemicals, highly toxic chemicals, insecticides that are very, very effective at killing off insects, not just the pests that we hate for chewing our crops up, but the insects that we value and admire and actually are useful in protecting our crops because they eat the pests. So that has been a kind of indiscriminate killing that has swept across much of the Western world, and increasingly that farming practice is being adopted elsewhere in Asia and Africa now too. And the third thing, which is the escalating crisis for insects, is climate change. Previously it was thought that climate change wouldn't affect insects as much as other animals, but research has made clear that insects live within quite a narrow band of temperature. They aren't able to move beyond that, such as fish, for example. We know about fish kind of heading towards the poles because it's cooler there. Insects aren't able to move that far. Unless you're a dragonfly or something, you can't actually travel great distances if you're an insect. So you're kind of trapped in the environment around you. And as that's being heated up, you're seeing many species of insects struggle to survive and adapt to that. And there are other impacts as well. Light pollution is another big one. We've lit up the night skies, which kind of scrambles the hardwired nature of insects to tell the difference between night and day. It affects their mating and communication and so on. So we're doing lots of things, big and small, to make this world quite an unpleasant place for insects.
So let's talk about what is happening to the insect populations. And you write that they are in decline, but they're not in decline evenly across the board. And you write that it's not a, quote, single downward sloping line on a graph. It's more like a lot of different lines. Describe for us what is happening to insect populations. Can you expound on that?
Yes, so because we haven't mapped out the entirety of insect life around the world, it's impossible for us to say what's happening with their populations in every part of the world. We just don't know in each country if there is a huge decline underway. But there are some pretty stunning studies out there showing that in a lot of places there are some incredible declines of insects. There was one meta-study in 2018 finding that 40% of insect species are declining globally, and that's based on the data that we have.
That's 40% of insect species?
Yes, are declining globally. Again, it's an incomplete picture, but it's of the studies that we have. And there's another study that backed up that study, which found that insect populations are falling by kind of 1-2% a year around the world. That's the kind of really big picture. We're losing around 1-2% of insects a year based on what we know. So the United Nations has kind of warned about this. There is a kind of looming crisis for food security. They estimate there's about 500,000 insect species that could go extinct by the midpoint of this century.
So finally, although it shouldn't be finally, it really is a primary goal of speaking to you, is to look at solutions. And you write that the solutions are surprisingly straightforward, and there are things that all of us can do to confront this insect decline. And I wonder if you could give us an outline of what those solutions are.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's kind of like big picture kind of policy stuff that you see happening in the European Union, for example. They've banned three of the main neonicotinoid pesticides, the real kind of terrible bee-killing pesticides. Banned. France has gone even further. You can't even use them in greenhouses anymore. You know, Germany is banning gas-powered leaf blowers because insects love hiding underneath the leaves. So they've kind of taken that measure. Some countries are working on light pollution reductions. and that sort of thing. And you're seeing these kind of new ways of farming starting to kind of worm their way into the conversation, even in the US, which is kind of very dominated by monocultural farming and big ag, regenerative farming, you know, putting in corridors or wildflowers so insects can have a bit of breathing room by the side of fields and they can connect and so on. So there's some kind of big picture policy stuff, but a lot of it is things you can do at home, and a lot of it is quite indolence. A lot of it is quite, if you're a lazy person, you can do it. I mean, insects have not thrived due to our tidiness and our obsession with everything having its place. So a weed, the word weed is quite a subjective word. It's a plant that we consider to be in the wrong place, wherein in fact is food for an insect. So if you could just, if you do have a yard, to maybe not mow the grass every week, don't rake the leaves as often, don't put chemicals on your property as much, let some kind of weeds or native plants, whatever you want to call them, grow in a kind of a variety of action around your property, and you'll see the insects come back. And we saw this in the pandemic when a lot of local authorities stopped cutting the grass beside highways. You started seeing wildflowers pop up, and for the first time in years people were seeing birds around. And why was that? Because the insects had come back.
Well, Oliver Millman, thank you so much for talking to us.
Good to be with you. Thank you so much.
Oliver Millman is the environment correspondent for The Guardian in the United States and the author of The Insect Crisis, The Fall of the Tiny Empires That Run the World.
Well, Seth, it's that time again. What is the big picture here in our show about insects?
Of course, we've heard a lot of commentary about what insects do, how they're used even by chimpanzees. But the thing that struck me the most was that 40% of all insect species are declining, but the decline is 1-2% per year. That's an exponential decrease. And that means in 3 decades, half of all insects will be gone. And that really scared me because the causes are so diffuse. There are many different causes, and it's not easy to fix this problem.
Yes, and the other fear is that some of the insects may go away before we've learned what species they are and what some of their relationships are.
The next time I see a bug, I'll be happy to see it.
This show would not be possible without the Busy as Bees dedication of senior producer Gary Niederhoff and assistant producers Shannon Rose Geary and Brian Edwards. I am executive producer of Big Picture Science, Molly Bentley.
Thanks also to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David and to NASA. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, a nonprofit education and research organization that considers the diversity of life on our planet. I'm the Institute senior astronomer, Seth Shostak, and also a big thanks to our listeners and our Patreon supporters.
Original music in the show by Dewey DeLay and June Miyake. This episode of Big Picture Science that looks at the unique niches filled by insects and the consequences of their declining populations is called The Latest Buzz.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring 2-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.